Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Now, it's nearly 2 weeks into anti-government protests in Iran, which started when the country's currency collapsed. There's an internet blackout in Iran as the country's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, called support protesters vandals and accused them of trying to please US President Donald Trump. Estimates by news agencies put the death toll so far at around 50. Hundreds have been injured. More have been arrested. And for more on this, we're joined by Greg Karlstrom, Middle East correspondent with The Economist. Good evening to you, Greg.
Good evening to you.
We're seeing images from Tehran and other Iranian cities with thousands of people taking to the streets, should I say. Why do you feel the protests are exerting pressure on the regime in a way that maybe previous protests didn't?
Well, I think it's not about the protests themselves, the size of the protests or the geographic scope, which in fact is smaller than what we saw. For example, in 2022, the last time there was a big round of protest in Iran. But I think what is putting pressure on the regime right now is the broader context. Iran has been through a horrible year. In 2025, there was a war with Israel over the summer, which was disastrous for Iran. It's watched as some of its regional proxies have been battered by Israel over the past couple of years. And then it's beset by environmental and economic problems at home. The currency has lost half of its value in the past 12 months. There were fears that the capital might run out of water in November and might have to be evacuated. So all of this is going on, and the regime doesn't seem to have any answers for what are starting to look like existential problems for Iranians. And that is what has driven people out onto the streets, and that is what is driving widespread anger and frustration.
And it's maybe one particular cohort of Iranian society that maybe the leadership finds most disturbing to see out on the streets, is it?
It is. I think their constituents, their base. And I think that's one thing that's been striking about these protests. They began, as you said, about 2 weeks ago, with a walkout by shopkeepers in Tehran, electronics vendors who were upset about the collapsing currency. The protests then spread to the Grand Bazaar in Tehran, which has always been something of a weather vane for protests. And it's where some of the protests in 1979 that started that revolution took place. And what we've seen in provincial cities and outlying areas has been jobless young men coming out to protest and coming out to demand change from a regime that they used to support, they used to vote for, but isn't delivering for them anymore.
And the pictures that we're seeing, we didn't see as much coming out in terms of mobile phone footage of by the protesters themselves in 2022 or indeed 2019. What's different this time? Why are we seeing so many pictures of these protests?
Well, we're seeing some, and we're hoping to see more once this internet blackout is lifted. It's been about 24 hours now where connectivity in Iran has been throttled, I would say, close to zero. But I think the context of this, too, it's not just protest driven from the bottom up. It's also what we saw yesterday was Reza Pahlavi, the son of the deposed Shah of Iran, the self-styled crown prince of Iran, who has been in exile in the United States for decades. He has been calling people to come out and protest. He urged them to come out last night. He's urged them to come out and do it again tonight. And so you have this sort of media apparatus set up by his supporters, which is obviously keen to make it look like he has strong support on the ground.
He does have, I mean, people, I was listening to another analyst talking about it, saying that if you had said 10 years ago that the son of the Shah would be having his name chanted in the street in Tehran, people would have called you unrealistic or even delusional, whereas he does seem to have some currency now. Why has this happened? Where is he getting the support from and who's backing him?
I think there are several reasons for it. I don't think it's monolithic. You have some people who genuinely want the restoration of the monarchy, who see that as the best way forward for Iran to make some kind of political change, to move away from the Islamic Republic. I think you have other people who may not want the monarchy reinstated, but they see Pahlavi as the closest thing to a nationwide opposition figure. It's a very disorganized, leaderless opposition. It has been for decades. And he is the one person who really has universal name recognition inside of Iran and who people can point to as a leader. And then I think you also just have other people, particularly now that he has been urging people to mobilize, who think chanting his name in the streets is a way to poke a finger in the eye of the regime. It's a name that obviously the regime doesn't want to hear chanted. And so it's a way to upset the powers that be, but it's not necessarily a sign of deeply held support.
Okay, the UN human rights chief, Volker Turk, has called for an investigation of all of the deaths that have occurred today and indeed the treatment of those who have been arrested as well. So, I mean, what do we know about the death toll so far in the protests? And have we seen a change in what the Supreme Leader has been saying? He initially called for restraint, and now we're hearing from judicial authorities that people would be dealt with very harshly.
We don't have a precise death toll, which is not uncommon when things like this happen in Iran. The estimates from various human rights groups range from in mid-20s to the 50s or 60s, number of people who have been killed, predominantly civilian protesters and not members of the security forces. You're right to say that the Supreme Leader initially spoke of restraint. The president spoke of restraint as well. But from the beginning of this, the regime has seemed rattled, has seemed nervous about the protests. And so there were even in the early days, large-scale deployments of riot police and other armed goons in the streets of Tehran and other cities. And I think if the protests continue to intensify, as we saw last night, as we might see tonight, the state is probably going to be even more heavy-handed. There's been some talk of not just police, but perhaps the Revolutionary Guard, the Praetorian Guard of the regime, being used to quell dissent in some places.
And any nervousness, Greg, finally and briefly, at the top of the regime about any potential internal regime dissent and enforced change, anything like a coup?
There's a lot of nervousness. There's a lot of talk about that. There are some people within the regime who are wondering if the best way to save it is to sacrifice the man at the top, to push the Supreme Leader aside, and to have someone else who can take over, who can implement limited reforms, perhaps enough to satisfy the protesters, but not to bring down the entire edifice of the Islamic Republic.
Okay, Greg, thanks very much for that. Greg Karlstrom there, Middle East correspondent with The Economist.